Well, good morning. Hope you're enjoying your breakfast this morning. It's a big thank you to Roundy's. He's our breakfast provider this morning, and I hope you're enjoying the breakfast. All right, got lots of claps for the breakfast this morning. Also want to thank the Silo for hosting us as well. I know just about everybody here in this room, but for those that don't know me, my name is Taylor Hayes. I am the president of the Christian County Chamber of Commerce, and I think I have one of the best jobs in this county. I get to be a cheerleader for this community every single day, 24/7. Isn't it a great day to be in Christian County? Is it not? All right. Lots of great things are happening around us, and we're here this morning to talk about a few of those. Now, I want to share this with you. From a bustling Main Streets and a vibrant downtowns to rich entrepreneurial ecosystems and a booming industry sectors, there's no two economic development success stories that look alike or sound alike. Would you agree, Carter? They're all different. Every economic development success has a different set of circumstances and goals, making the path to success completely fluid and unpredictable. Yet, just take a look around this community. From our south, Oak Grove, and everything that's happening around Fort Campbell, all the way through the north part of the county. Just look around you in this entire region. We're witnessing some of the greatest economic development success we've experienced in a good while. What's taking place and why? While circumstances may differ, there are some common denominators in creating economic development success. One of the most important of these common denominators is the ability for a diverse group of individuals, organizations, public institutions willing to collaborate, cooperate with intentions of finding solutions when they're both hurdles and opportunities are encountered. Another common denominator is the ability to not shy away from taking calculated risk into the unknown. A third common denominator is having policies and infrastructure in place to attract investment opportunities. This morning, we are going to hear the fruits of these common denominators in action. Before that, I want to talk about, speaking of investments, we've got a number of folks to thank for this opportunity to have these breakfasts. I want to thank Judge Gillum, our magistrates with Christian County Government, Denham Blythe Company, a people-focused design-build construction group, HWA, our water folks, an instrumental public utility partner in economic development success, Legacy Metals, and they're soon to be rebranded as Summertown Metals, is a full-service lumber yard and provider of pole barns and post-frame metal structures. Are one of our newest partners in our community, Toyota Bashuko. Thank you all so much for your support. And then, of course, Southwest Kentucky EDC, one of the chamber's closest working partners. We really appreciate that crew being a part of our family at the chamber. I want to thank Roundy's again and the Silo this morning for hosting us and for this great breakfast. So the purpose of today's breakfast is to share the successes and highlight the importance of economic development for a community and why it's a never-ending process. We must continue to invest in these efforts. It is an extremely competitive world, and to attract people and investments to a rural community, we must set ourselves apart. We need to share what's unique about and attractive, and we need to tell our story. Now, I've been a member of the Hopkinsville Industrial Foundation for over 25 years. I've seen how the landscape for economic development and recruitment have changed. Economic development is more than just creating or retaining jobs in the tax base. It's about creating a climate that's attractive for investors and businesses, and a place where workers and their families can flourish. To attract and retain investment, a community must not only have the right infrastructure in place, it must have cultural amenities, modern infrastructure, quality schools, broadband, and a trained workforce with skills that match business needs. If you really think about it, economic development is really about community development. And it's not a single person's responsibility. It's not a single organization's responsibility, or even the total responsibility of our elected officials that play such a crucial role. This responsibility belongs to all of us working together as a team. Getting ready to introduce Judge Jerry Gillum. He's a good friend, and he is a great partner in this community in what we're witnessing and seeing and what's going on around us. Judge, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Taylor. Thank you all, and Taylor, I'm going to argue with you. I think I have the best job there is in this town. It's certainly an honor to be here. It's certainly an honor to represent Christian County. I'd like to recognize our magistrates that are here today, Squire Barnett, Squire Peterson, Squire Pryor, Squire Bruce, our treasurer, Natalie Pyle, and our Squire Ferguson, who is always on the go. Appreciate them and their engagement. I will take a moment and just kind of give you all an update on the recent flooding, because I, like Taylor said, it is a community, and it's a community effort, and I think this, the response that we have had to the recent floods is an example of it being a community effort. You know, this flood impacted us this last week, and we had help from the ECC, emergency management, law enforcement, fire, rescue, EMS, public works, and County Road Department, and KYTC all came together in a unified front and did what we needed to do to try to salvage, save, rescue, and preserve as much of this community as we possibly can. To give you an update, we've had over 30 water rescues and over 45 individuals rescued, also we've rescued 45 dogs from the shelter that very first day. A shelter is located at Red Cross at St. John's Methodist Church. If anyone's still needing to, that is home displaced, then we can certainly provide shelter for that. And today, we've had over 180 residents impacted. Yesterday, FEMA, along with Kentucky Emergency Management and our local emergency management, went around and did what they consider a windshield assessment to kind of get an overall grasp of the impact that this flood's had on our community. And from there, they will devise a plan to go out and provide as much assistance as we possibly can. I appreciate the efforts of many, many that have donated to this community. I'm not even going to list them because there's so many to list and I'll miss one, but I do know the distributions at Restoration House from Tuesday to Friday, and feel free to, if you know anybody that's impacted, that's needing some resources, then certainly go there and be able to give you some donations that they have so graciously given. I do want to give you an example of coming together and the success and the commitment of our employees. So Saturday morning, bright and early, I met the EOC, which is the Emergency Operations Response that was enacted when the onset of the flood. The dispatch was there. Our emergency manager, Randy Graham, was there. And we were getting ready to go to the County Road Department to sandbag to provide for our citizens of Christian County. And that was going to be orchestrated, and a lot of the labor was going to be done by our trustees and our inmates. Well, an in-jail employee, we'll refer to him as Moose, I think many of you all know Moose. We heard of a traffic accident on 41 in North, on 41 in the bypass, come over the radio through the dispatch, and about 5 or 10 minutes later, one of the dispatchers said, that was Moose. So I'm like, is he okay? Well, we don't know. And about that time, my phone rings, and it's Moose. And Moose says, Judge, I'm going to be a few minutes late, but I'm going to be there. I said, Moose, what's going on, man? He said, I know what happened. He said, Well, I'm going to be a few minutes late, but I'm going to be there. I said, take care of you. What do we need to do to help you? He said, I will be there. So he comes, and we meet at the County Road Department. He delivers our trustees to start. We bagged over 1,600 bags of sand that morning and 33 tons. And he said, I think I am going to go to the hospital and get checked out. He comes back 3 hours later with a broken arm. So, but that just shows the commitment that our employees and our folks and our stakeholders and our community has to, and the commitment they have. So, my hat's off, and I know there's more stories like that, but that's just one good example. So, but it's an honor to be here this morning. We're here to celebrate some of our momentum and our opportunity that we have going on in Christian County. And I just want to take a few minutes to kind of showcase some of those items that we're going to celebrate, and we'll continue to celebrate, and we continue to keep our foot on the gas to ensure that we keep this momentum going. Overall, in the last 2024, we saw over $302 million worth of new capital investments, which equated to about 1,400 jobs. We welcomed many new industries to our area. Kitchen Foods, which is going to employ over 925 people. Sinus Fertilize, which is associated with Ascend Elements. It's going to make $109 million capital investment. And then, of course, Bucky's, that everyone is excited about, has committed a $70 million commitment with over 300 jobs. So we've got a diverse group of new opportunities coming to Christian County, and that's one thing that our fiscal court and we're excited about, is diversifying our opportunities. We also have some expansions with Altria as well as Hutamaki. Both of them believe in this community, have seen the fruits of this community, and therefore they're turning around and reinvesting and expanding in our community, and that's something we certainly ought to celebrate. And of course, we also have some other retail that's coming about. Obviously, it takes industrial development and jobs that will follow will be the retail development, which will also create the jobs. So we will also certainly want to welcome McAllister's Ashley Outlet and certainly Rule King to our region. So what impact does this have over all of us? The next slide, we show that our tourism is growing as well. Now that can be a slight skewed number for the simple fact, and just full transparency, we've had lots of folks here helping construct these facilities, so obviously that's going to impact that. But we do know, we see people, when we visit with Amy at the tourism, we talk about seeing lots and lots of people come in and seeing what's happening in Hopkinsville and Christian County. And Oak Grove. Oak Grove Tourism has also got their foot on their gas too, and doing great things, and have great programs throughout the year, and certainly fostering one of our strategic goals to engage with Fort Campbell. But the other impact, and probably the most fruitful impact that we see, with the next slide. Boy, my slide looked better than that. Mine had a bigger drop in it. But our overall real property tax rate has gone down. And I know Chairman Petrie is going to talk about this, but this is what we see. As we grow as a community, so our tax base grows. As our tax base grows, it also allows us to lower the property tax rate. Now, we can argue the fact that, yeah, reassessment occurs. It occurs every 4 years. We know that. But overall impact, there's many of us in this room that paid less property tax this year than they did the previous year, and that's all a result of growth. And we want to celebrate that and enjoy the fruits of the growth that's occurring. It's very similar to what our state legislature is doing with our income tax. We're lowering the income tax, but we're also seeing increased revenue. That's a good thing. That's showing that it's working, that people are investing in Kentucky and certainly investing in Christian County. So, something that I'm very proud of, and I think we all should celebrate. It's an honor to see this kind of growth, and we hope that it continues. And we know with the help with Carter and Southwest Economic Development and everybody in this room, from HWEA to everybody that has an impact. Taylor was very right. Everybody in this room has an impact and a contribution to make to our growth, and as we celebrate that. So With that, I would like to introduce our keynote speaker. He needs no introduction, but Chairman Petrie, Representative Petrie, is in the House, and he also serves as Chair of Appropriations, and we're very fortunate to have him represent part of Christian County. So, Chairman Petrie.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. There we go. Very good. All right. Taylor said keep this down to an hour and a half. I think I've got it down to an hour 45. We're good? Good. Very good. I hope not hour 45. I do have a few things paperwork-wise just to make sure I try to stay on track. Thank y'all for coming in today, and thank you for having me here. State Representative, House District 16, and yes, I do represent part of Christian County. I've enjoyed that. And Taylor, thank you for the invitation. Thank you for the chamber being a good partner. That's not smoke blowing, people. That's honest talk, and I don't like to blow smoke. So they have good input. What are the local issues, just along with the judge exec, the magistrates, mayors, great input sources for us at the state level, and me in particular. Taylor asked, I said, all right, so what are we doing at the state level that actually helps out at the local level, and how's it work together? Well, that would be an hour 45 or 2 days worth, but we're gonna try to summarize it a little bit. I think I can do it in under 2 minutes. 2017, economic reforms. 18, tax reform. 19, modifications of reforms. 2020, COVID budget. 21, COVID budget again. Local investment supports. 22, budget reform 1.0. 22, investment supports 2.0. 2022, tax reform 2.0. 2023, investment supports 3.0. 2024, budget reform 2.0. 2024, investment supports 4.0. 2025, investment supports and tax reform 2.1. Any questions? That's it in a nutshell, people. So overall, what we're trying to do is this. Set the stage at the state level. I've got a great senator, Senator Richardson here. I've enjoyed working with him already. He's doing great. And he will see and has been seeing how we set stage thinking long with financial support, programmatic support, dealing with certain special issues, but thinking long. Everything that happens, Judge Exec Gillum talking about up here, everything that happens, guess what? State didn't do it. Each one of y'all did it. State may be involved, Cabinet for Economic Development, local government, all good people, and they assist, but the stuff actually gets done down here. So we're gonna talk about setting stages, setting the ground, setting support structures for y'all to do what you need to do. Now, in order for me to get there, and get there fairly quickly, I do start off with that summary list that I had. 2017, and this will not be a partisan talk, but I have to say, we switched majority control in 2017 in the House. That then matched that in the Senate. By doing so, we came in prepared before session that year and started true economic policy changes, reforms. Things like right to work, repeal of prevailing wage, paycheck protection, and some other bills that were set up where we actually finally passed them on a Saturday. That had never been done in the first week of organizational part of a session with a new set of legislators coming in. And you think, okay. But what happens is that things turn on that. We thought that if we changed those economic policies, the very, very, very fundamental pieces, that we would start to see economic growth, investment, interest in Kentucky that hadn't been there before. Some of those things would also help to deflate the cost of state government capital projects, which we've seen that come through. And then I have to tell you, the great thing about it is I can stand here and say we were right. And the reason I say it is this, based on data from Cabinet for Economic Development, think about this. From 2000 through 2016, average annual economic investment in Kentucky was about $2.3 billion. Pretty tight banded range along that time period. In 2017 alone, that's the same year that we enacted those reforms, it went up to about $7.4 billion. And then we have stayed at about that level ever since. We've had some high and low years, but we've got an average well over six and right at the $7 billion mark. We're at three times what had happened in the prior 16 years, and I can take you back even further. We've hit another level and we've continued, and that's part of what we're seeing. I think that will continue. The big bump is not going to be there, but we have gone to that next level and we continue to increase off of it, and this is a good thing. Second big thing is in 2021, well, I'll tell you what, hit 18 first. 2018, we also started not just economic reforms, but we started tax reforms. And in 18, we flattened the slightly progressive tax at 6% for individuals and then cut that by a point. At that point in time, it was about $994 million left in the pockets of individuals. Today, that would be $1.4 billion left in the pockets of individuals to invest locally. There was also a slight cut to business tax down to 5%. That was about a $93-94 million help to Kentucky businesses. But it set us on a trajectory of, okay, we flattened it, now we reduced it, and we've got tax reforms that go along with our structures and modernizing how you do taxes for business and individuals, and then we start to see the tick up again. In 2019, that session, we did some modifications that were required to smooth things out a little bit, and then 2020, COVID hit. COVID hit, and I remember it very clearly. We got an announcement, got a presentation on it really quickly, and then that was a budget session. So we're supposed to be setting a two-year budget. COVID's coming in, and at that point, we've got hindsight now, but then you did not. So we just simply flatlined the budget for 1 year rather than write it for two. We flatlined it for one. We did the same thing in 21 and flatlined it basically again. Now, there was an advantage that came out of that. To the chagrin of many people that expect spending to always go up, the Commonwealth not only survived budgetarily and survived by development and growth, it actually started to do better by us flatlining the budget rather than spending more money all the time. So then you have an example of you can do it. Now in 21, we also started, there were ARPA funds, if y'all remember that bill that went through, a lot of federal funds that were coming through, local supports and how do you get to infrastructure needs and those type things, setting the stage for local investments, local development. Had about $250 million that went out for water and wastewater. We did that in two successive years. We had about $350 million that went out in ARPA on broadband. And does anybody here have a broadband problem now? Come on, are you awake or done? I'm not that long into this. Does anybody have a broadband problem out there? Oh my God, if you'd said that in 21. That was the thing we would always get calls about more than anything else, Craig. I mean, more than anything else. Where's my broadband at? Who do I call? Okay, with the help of locals, that money that, and that's in the bill that we set up, the structure that has gone out in this area has benefited greatly from the way the locals have handled it. And then again, we flatlined that budget. 22 was an interesting one. We've got more tax reform coming. So we've got economic policies, we've got tax reform that starts, we've got big money being pushed out for infrastructure sports because of COVID. In 22, in 21, I had some issue with the governor's office and the governor in particular. We were trying to talk about three big policy issues. And I, sitting there in his office, I kept getting the same response. You'll have to wait till my budget address. You'll have to wait till my budget address. Let's just work on the policy. I'll even sign a non-disclosure agreement. Let's just work on the policy. You couldn't get a different response. So in 22, I filed the budget for the House, which was the first time in the history of Kentucky the General Assembly had actually done that. Now that's a bigger deal than you think because the governor would normally prepare the entire budget, set his priorities, his narratives, his themes, his promises, his threats, his whatevers. And then the chair of A&R would have to sign it sight unseen, file it as A&R chair's bill, and then work it through with modifications thereafter. I did that in 21, and then in 22, I did not have not since. We made it our own budget. We're listening to the priorities of our local people, filtered up through our representatives, through our senators, and then setting our budget theme, narrative, and our goals ourselves. Made a big old difference because by doing so, we started to do a few things. Living within our means. Revenue comes in here, doesn't mean you have to spend here. Revenue comes in here, you can spend down here and bank the remainder into a reserve account. So that's what we started doing. We started looking for ROI, return on investment, of everything that we put out. Taxpayer money that we're in trust holding for their benefit. Well, we'd ask the simple question, what is their benefit by spending this money? So you don't spend as much when you look at needs versus wants, and you actually look for ROI, and then you get better investment of those funds that get a better ROI back to the state and to locals. Now, in doing so, we also cut out all the gimmicks that were going on in budgeting. A lot of waste that was going on, stupid stuff, I'm not gonna get into it, but cut out all those budgets. One of the things that y'all find interesting is from 2000 and 2022, we went from $200 per person in road funding at the state level to $400 and then $798. So right at $800 in 2022, just by stopping the gimmicks and putting the money where it's supposed to be. And we've gone up from there. Budget Reserve Trust Fund. Just like I said, if you live within your means and you bank money in a reserve account, this is the same thing we do in our own lives, our own businesses. You do that, guess what? You'll build a reserve. You're ready for bad things that might happen, which we've responded to tornadoes in 21. We responded to flooding in 22. We're responding again to flooding. And we may have another one that we respond to, but you're able to do that in the bad stuff, but you're also able to invest in good things, things that are really benefiting this area in particular. So we've got it in 22. We've also got another $250 million going out in ARPA funds for water and wastewater, another $20 million on pole replacements so we can deal with broadband a little better. And then we have something we developed called Product Development Initiative. Anybody know about that? Oh, come on, y'all have benefited from that. PDI, anybody ever heard of that? Product Development Initiative. And so what this is the state's putting in significant amounts of funds every fiscal year so that local entities, including Southwest and everybody else, can put in for a grant to come back and help with infrastructure needs for development, site development, due diligence, building. There's all kinds of things that can be dealt with to help lend that support so that Carter and Jerry and others can go, come on in, we can do this. We already have a spot for you, let's get to it. So we've done this for 4 years at this point. And one of the great things is in this particular program, let's say you go for an application. You make an application, but it's not really into the government at that point. You make it in the Kentucky Association of Economic Development, a third independent, which removes the politics. They have a higher consultant that comes in and gives an objective analysis of, is this a pipe dream or is this a real probability of getting a business in? If it's on the probability side, they recommend it, they score it, and then we end up funding it. And that's how you have these across the state. 2022, we also had another little thing that happened. As soon as we're working through all the stuff with budget, then I had been working on a little tax bill. And in 2022, we popped that out in mid-February. And then by the end of the session, we have a formula set up that says if certain conditions and triggers are met, then we can reduce the individual income tax rate. And so far, starting at that effective 6, reduced it to 5 in 18, and in 23 it went to 4.5, 24 it went to 4, and then our efforts, including Senator Richardson, this particular year, it will go down to 3.5 on January 1 of 26. I was gonna say, if nobody liked that, Senator Richardson, I would file dual bills to undo it. Not gonna happen. That formula has worked. We have massaged it, made it fit better, made it fit more appropriately. We did again, even this cycle, to make sure it is a good, healthy way of going down. You don't want to be in a certain state in the middle of the country. It goes down too fast. We want to do it smartly. And why are we looking at doing this in the first place? Just so we can get some votes. I can tell you that's not it. That doesn't motivate me at all. So why are we even looking at tax reform? We've looked at economic policy reforms. Tax reform 1.0, this is 2.0. Why are we going further into that? Anybody ever heard of Tennessee? Okay, so part of the theory is, one, if you want more of something, then tax it a little less. So if we want people to work, earn, make something, make some value, then let's stop taxing them when they do it. So we start taking away that collar off of them so they can do more of it. That also has the second effect of if somebody else not in Kentucky that wants to do that, they might come to Kentucky, and then we encourage population growth. We encourage housing starts. We encourage people coming in investing in the real estate, which is what Jerry was talking about. And we're seeing that. We have more starts in this area than anybody's been able to tell me they ever remember. Housing starts, development starts. We have people from out of state coming in and investing. And they're not doing it because, well, the weather changed. It's tax policy that changed. And they see the economic development. They see the tax reforms. And they see that we're continuing on with it. 23, multiples, updates, conformities. 24, we come back into the second batch of budget reform, continuing to put out more money to locals, local entities, make it available. A couple of three programs I want to highlight real fast is the W Waters program in 24. And what this is when someone here has a water wastewater issue, they make application generally through the PAD, through the Pinerol Area Development District, and then that goes up to Kentucky Infrastructure Authority, KIA, and then they look for federal funding, which the state is matching, to pull those funds down, and sometimes you qualify, sometimes you don't. And if you're not the best water wastewater district, you're probably not going to qualify. That's good bank financing. You can't really get there unless you've got enough behind you to say, we're running a good ship. But what about all those we've got across the state that are not running the best ship for whatever reason, their fault or not? We developed the W Waters program, which is state funds only. I think we put $150 million in, 75 and 75. KIA, according to criteria, ranks those projects, and then we turn around and funded them, which we did in 25, and go, these are good things to move with. This is kind of like cash in a flash financing. I can walk in, make an application, and I need to have financing for this for my people. Okay, we help you. We also get you into better business practices, all to the goal of getting you up to the regular bank financing later on with federal funds mixed with state. We also put $100 million, we put in 22, we put in another $124 million, Cabinet for Economic Development, so they can offer infrastructure supports. We call it a closing account. So Carter's working a deal up somewhere, but you know what, there's some infrastructure that just needs to be gotten to, and we don't have a program, we don't have the time to get somebody on the hook and write a letter that's got authority. CED has authority to promise, and they have the funds to build road, water, gas, electric, whatever it might be that's needed for that particular project. That closing fund has worked well. Continued on with the PDI program. If you remember, economic policy reforms, revenues up, tax reforms, revenues up, even as we cut the individual income tax rate, and living within your means, looking for needs versus wants, and looking for that ROI, from 21, 22, 23, 24, one, we have three credit ratings upgrades. Never happened in Kentucky's history that way. Awesome. Well, that's great for the state, but it's also great for everybody here in local government that, or anybody that deals with a bond, because it helps your bond rating, which brings your cost down also. It also allows us, by doing those things, to put money in a reserve account. Up until 2000 through 2016, there were about 3 years, we had negative savings account in Kentucky. How does that happen? I don't know. Not sure it's legal, but it was there. But since that time, we have built up by going through the processes I talked about, going through those processes on budgeting and tax reform and economic reforms, to we're one of the best six. I heard yesterday maybe one of the best four, but clearly one of the best 10 in the country. By 2024, we had about $5.5 billion. Billion dollars. Not million, but billion dollars in our reserve account. In 2024, we were also able to do something that had never happened before. House Bill 1 took one-time investment money out of that reserve account to the tune of close to $3 billion, a little current year, and a lot in the next 2 years, it's going on right now, and invested that money in one-time expenditures for water, wastewater, roads, river, rail, just about any kind of infrastructure and a lot of capital projects that you can possibly imagine. Short, relatively short bill, a lot of stuff going on it. You can't get there unless you do the things I've talked about all the way up until right now. House Bill 1, about $500 million that went to water wastewater. Great majority went to localities for projects and programs. $50 million West Kentucky Training Center in Madisonville. You think, well, that's in Madisonville. Yeah, but now your people don't have to travel all the way to Richmond to train and get their updates. Now they just get to go to Madisonville and come back, which cuts your cost. Increased local road funding through formulas, about $300 million. Then the grant program. Anybody ever heard of the grant program? We've gone through two iterations of it in two successive years, but in 2024, we put $200 million into a grant program we created. There are certain federal grants we thought beneficial, but locals could not come up with the money. It might be a $10 million grant, but you gotta come up with 10%, 20%, 50%. Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen here, not gonna happen a lot of places. So we stepped up with $200 million to go, under certain conditions, we will make your match for you as you apply for the federal grant. If you get the grant, you get all the money. We've had over $100 million, I think it's about $109 million that's gone out so far in this program. The list is awesome. We'd be glad to provide it to anybody. And we've got a little more to go. It is a time-limited program, so at the end of 2026, it will halt. You've got closing fund, PDI fund, water fund, grant fund. You've got House Bill 1, and we just come through the 25 session. Again, I'm going to tell you, Senator Richardson is a good value for you. He helped out on a tremendous issue that we have. I'm not going to get deep into it, but Medicaid. Medicaid is our second largest recipient of general fund in Kentucky. It is the first recipient of all funds in Kentucky when you add federal in with it. In addition to trying to get some controls around that so it doesn't become a budget buster and it starts to be administered more properly, we also authorized a local road program. Everybody makes a discretionary call in up on local roads. We can't afford to fix it, but will you help us? It used to be politicized out unbelievably. Don't need a response. I know exactly what it was. I hated it. I told everybody in the governor's office and the transportation cabinet, I said, I will kill that thing one way or another because I hate the politics. And I killed it. And I'm happy to say so. Come with your arrows. I will stand by that one any day. Killed it, but then we turned around and replaced it at the same time. And right now we have about $20 million that we're allocating every year through that same process of scoring and seeing what are the worst local roads, send those up, and we put together a small local road program which came out again this year, and I hope that we will continue with that to keep the politics out of it and start looking at what's actually necessary. Waters program, we authorized about a little over $75 million worth of water and wastewater projects out of that water program, and then we did a little more on the 2025 tax reform 2.1, I call it. Now, it was 8 o'clock to 8:22. Everybody awake? Nobody awake? Hello? Okay. Thus, overall, now I'm going to try to read a little bit. Spurred and supported economic investments with change in the economic policies, which is the very first thing I talked about. Began genuine budget with needs versus wants and looked for those ROIs, return on investment, and stopped all the gimmicks. Supported economic and population growth with tax reform in 18, 22, 24, 25. And then we have significant investments in newly created programs, that CED closing account, the waters program, the broadband program, the local road program, the grant program, and I can keep going on with more I haven't mentioned. Large pay downs over and above on public pensions, which was a noose around our necks, a millstone that dragged us down on credit ratings, and those people have recognized that and rewarded us for our discipline and payments in the way that we're addressing that. Little known thing, who in here is connected to business? Okay, is anybody that's awake, raise your hand if you're connected to business. Okay. Yeah. Little known thing, I think we put about $200 million into the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund around that back in 21-22 so that we could keep your rates as low as possible on an unemployment that has paid off. We were at zero balance in our trust fund. That would have jacked your rates up unbelievably. We put money into help, and today I can say that we are more solvent than Kentucky has ever been in its history since it had an unemployment investment, unemployment insurance trust fund. We're either at or over $1 billion in that fund. And that means if and when, I'm from an economics background, so when you hit a bad turn, a recession or whatever, that fund is first defense to make sure people still receive money if they're unemployed. It's the first time we've had one that's solvent, and this is very good, a little talked about. Budget reserve trust accounts, built it up. Now we're making one-time investments out of it, which has never been done in Kentucky's history. And then the last thing. Last thing, on January 1, just a reminder, on January 1, 2026, the individual income tax rate will decrease to 3.5%. Thank you all for allowing me to speak with you. I pray that God blesses the Commonwealth and God blesses each and every one of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman. You see what's going on at the state level that is sort of building the foundation of what we're doing here locally. And I've got a little memento here for you that I know you're familiar with to some degree, but I don't see you wearing it, so I'm gonna need to have you put it on real quick. Hold on. All right, so for those that don't know, I've created a sticker that it says, Get Kentucky to 0%. I got 1,000 stickers, and I have been passing them around the state. Craig, I think I've been seeing them in people's offices up in Frankfort. I've got a little memento here that's got a few more stickers that you can hand out. There's also a couple of little desk objects in there that you can put on. Last thing, anybody familiar with the big award that the Kentucky Chamber gives out to legislators? I know Elizabeth's nodding her head and Kelly. So legislators that really go to bat for business, they give them a bat. And they're pretty cherished, are they not?
They are.
I think you've got one, or you got three. So you see what this guy's done for business. Well, what you need with a bat is a ball. And so to really get Kentucky in that economic development swing, to get Kentucky to 0%, we want you to hit it out of the ballpark, Chairman. Thank you so much.
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
You know, Elizabeth and Kelly, maybe we ought to find a way to include a ball with that 0% when Kentucky Chamber gives those bats out. So, all right, we've got a couple more things before we wrap up. I want to share with you all, before I get started, I have a big apology to make because I'm sitting here staring right at him, and I know he's got daggers going into me as Matt, Scott Murphy Daniel. I forgot to share with, they're one of our sponsors today as well, big construction company specialist. Thank you, Matt, and your whole team. And it was not intentional to leave you out when I was thanking our sponsors. I'd like for Mayor Jackie Oliver with Oak Grove, as well as Judge Gillum, to come up. I want to share with you all just a real short story. We know that everybody's excited about Bucky's being here. So, this is teamwork in action. Bucky's would not be here today or be announcing that they're building here unless there was a tremendous amount of teamwork going on. And I want to... Come on up. Mayor Oliver and Oak Grove, their city council, Oak Grove Tourism, Christian County Government, and really the Kentucky Department of Transportation, they were a team. They came together numerous times. How many times did Bucky say they were going to be here, and then they weren't, and then they were going to be here, and then they weren't? But it took these folks right here, sitting at a table, rolling up their sleeves, and Tracy Cunningham, who's the director of Oak Grove Tourism, is not here today, but I invited her as well. We've got a little special gift here, if y'all wanna, and I've got one for Tracy here as well. If you wanna just open it up, you're welcome to, but I think all of us need to owe these folks a big round of applause for the teamwork that they did. These folks came together and worked as a team, and Mayor, I'm sure it was really easy, right? It was a really easy process and easy decisions to make, I'm sure. I'd like for Jerry or you one just to provide, and I know you don't have a lot of update information, but maybe a little bit about where we are in that process of getting Bucky's here. I don't know if one of you.
Well, I know it was a long process. I know as soon as we took office, I got a call from Mayor Oliver that says, "I want buckets." And if you all know Mayor Oliver, when she says something like that, she means it. So, and we certainly started reaching out, and it was a team effort. As an update, I talked with State Transportation last week, and they're still working on the design. See, it's more than just building a building in a field, or building a gas station in a field. It's reconstructing the whole intersection at exit 89. And the reason is because they're expecting 100,000 cars a week. And we know that our road infrastructure cannot handle 100,000 cars a week. So that's why it has taken, that's why it's been real challenging, and it's taken a team effort, like Taylor said, working with State Transportation and everybody to redesign the exchange. The bridge over exit 89 is on a fast track now, thanks to our legislators, and for the most part, Bucky's is actually putting a lot of their own money in our infrastructure, in our roads, in order to get it here. That's how much they believe in Oak Grove. That's how much they believe in Christian County. So we're excited to have them.
Thank you all. Jerry, you don't go away. You want to have something?
I would guess if I didn't.
All right, well, thank you all so much. Appreciate it. Hey, I'm getting ready. We've got a short little, literally about a 30-second video we want to share. Jerry, don't run off too far because you're next. That's Tracy. We're going to show a video. Christian, I won't get his last name. Tony Aramides. Aramides. He is the CEO of Kitchen Food Company, and he has just a little short video he wants us to share with you all this morning.
G'day from Sydney, Australia. Christian and Daniel from Kitchen Food Company. We're delighted to have selected Hopkinsville for our new Kentucky home for what will be our first factory in North America.
We're incredibly excited about the journey ahead and look forward to meeting many of you fine folk in the weeks and months to come. We're having a bourbon in your honour, and we look forward to having one with you in person in due course.
Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Exciting. We bring another international flag to Christian County. Before I turn it over to Jerry, one little selfish announcement I want to bring up. Next Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, we have our annual Compass Awards. These are our small business awards. If you all are interested in attending that event, it is a fabulous event. It's presenting sponsor is HWA. And if y'all like to hear Derek sing and so forth, he will sort of start the evening off with his singing and his guitar work and so forth. But it is a wonderful, fun event that we get to honor a lot of different small businesses and so forth. So if you're interested, it'll be this coming Tuesday, July 15th. It'll be here at the Silo. Reception starts at 5, our dinner and so forth will be at 6. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jerry to close us out.
Thank you, Taylor. Thank you all for being here today. I won't keep it much longer. Just appreciate all the efforts. One thing that I kind of try to do when I
post anything on social media that's related to the county. Squire Fergus, you know this. I'm trying to say we are Christian County, because I think we are Christian County. And I hope the culmination of everything we've talked about this morning has showcased from the floods to the economic development to working with the state with the great help from our legislators. We are Christian County. So with that, we'll stand dismissed. Thank you.